Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, August 7th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching. The sermon today is By Faith. The New Testament reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3.
Our scripture reading comes from the New Testament letter to the Hebrews. Your bulletin says Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. We'll start with that, but then I'm going to highlight some things in the rest of the chapter, but I figured you didn't want to hear all the rest of the chapter, so we'll go with there. But as we open the scriptures, let us pray. God of all time and all places, we recognize and give thanks for the Bible, for the gift of your word, for how it tells your story and the story of the people of faith who have listened to you. Help us this morning to listen to you, to really hear your voice, and then to live in obedient faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, for what is seen is made from things that are not visible. The rest of this chapter goes on to list places where God's faith and love was made visible. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God an acceptable sacrifice. But verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death. By faith Noah, warned by God about events yet unseen, respected the warning and built the ark. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, Moses left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger. By faith, he kept the Passover. And by faith, Moses led the people through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. And at verse 32, what more should I say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. This whole chapter is a litany of the people of faith. The author of Hebrews is reminding the community of faith to which he was writing to at that time of the long, long ways that God has been present in the life of the people of Israel. It's a story that they already knew, but to see it all in one chapter laid out like that helps remind the people, hey, oh yeah, God showed up with Moses. Yeah, we remember that. Oh yeah, God showed up with the prophets. Oh yeah, we remember that. Because at the beginning, we're talking about faith is hope in things unseen. But sometimes when we look back in history, we can see how God was present in the past. And he's saying, look, God was present with Abel. God was present with Abraham. God is present with the prophets. So now you can have conviction of the faith of the past. I thought this morning I would tell you a little bit about how God has been working with me in my past. Some of you know me better than others from being in the interview process, and some of you read my bio, and some of you went, "Who's this new person who's standing up here?" And I realized that last week I preached straight out of the Bible and I didn't talk about myself at all. And then on Saturday night, I kind of went, "Oh, maybe they want to know something about me because it's like my first Sunday here." And I went, "Well, too late to do anything about that Saturday night." But it also fit with the scripture for this day that's talking about the history and the history of God's people by faith. So I'll tell you that by faith, my mother, who's sitting in the back row back there, hi Mom, left Hawaii and moved to the mainland. And by faith, she joined a Japanese-American church in West Los Angeles looking for family and a place of belonging when she didn't have one. And by faith, she chose to raise me and my older brother to be churchgoers. We were at Rolling Hills United Methodist Church, where my mom is still active, where my child went to vacation Bible school there last week, and where some of the members, longtime members, went, "Oh my gosh, she looks like Wendy." Great connection. By faith, I was an acolyte there, sang in the cherub choir. We've got pictures of me in a white shirt with a big red bow and big cheeks and the bowl haircut, you know, with the bangs. And yeah, that one. And in a time of disillusionment with the church, when I looked around and there weren't any other kids my age, and I was disappointed and sad, by faith, a very cute guy in my math class named David Adkins invited me to his church. And so I went across town to the Presbyterian Church, where there were activities going on and mission trips to Mexico. And in a time of striking out separate from my dear parents' wishes, by faith I rebelled against them, demanding that I go on a mission trip to Mexico rather than their pre-planned ski vacation to Mammoth. And God opened my eyes to a relationship with Jesus that was more meaningful, more exciting, and more loved-filled than I could have ever believed possible. And yet, in that time, I also struggled to be a good Christian, a good daughter, a good student, and an excellent basketball player, all at the same time, and failed terribly at doing that simultaneously. And in that time of self-doubt and self-criticism, by faith, God's grace entered again. And I came to understand what it meant to be saved. Saved not by what I do, but by what Jesus does for me and in me. My pastor then, Reverend Sandy Tice, was sent to me to teach me that Sabbath rest is okay. Okay to stop every once in a while. And there, at a time of not even looking towards my future, of being fairly settled in, by faith, Sandy Tice picked up the phone and said, "What are you doing next summer?" And I said, "I don't know what I'm doing next summer. It's January." And she said, "You should go work at this place called Westminster Woods." And I'm like, "Westminster what?" Right? It's this Presbyterian camp in Northern California. I don't know, right? I'm 18, it's January. I'm not thinking like a summer job. Like, I'm just trying to get through my next day. So I go to my, you know, dorm Bible study, and you know, we're asking for prayer requests, and I say, "Yeah, pray for me. My pastor talked about a possible camp summer position in Northern, I don't know. So pray for me, I'll pray about that. That's something that God wants me to do." And this man who was a junior in the Bible study said, "Well, what camp is it?" And I said, I think it's called Westminster Woods. It's this Presbyterian camp." And he goes, "Oh, I have an application right here." And he opens up his backpack and he lays a camp application in front of me. Turns out he was a coordinator at Westminster Woods and was already planning to be back there this summer. Was I doing anything there? No, yeah. And so by faith, God led me there. And in those summers on staff, I learned how self-giving and self-sacrifice for God's work in the world was important to me and could be super fun at the same time. I think there were days that I woke up at 6:45 and ran around all day with kids and then stayed up with college-age friends until 12 or later, and then woke up the next morning and did it all over again and decided that there's something of life in that. And there were important people there, too, people who God had led there as well. Sheila Denton, the program director, and a couple people you might know around here, like David Lawson, Amy Breitler, Tom Stewart, who we're intersecting with again these days. I ended up working at Westminster Woods even post-college for a couple of years when Sheila was pregnant with her son Morgan, and the Woods ran out of money, and at this moment of unemployment, and I don't know where I'm going to go yet, my home church, St. Peter's by the Sea Presbyterian in Southern California, the pastor, Clayton Cobb, called and said, "I need an interim youth leader." I said, "No, I'm fine here at Westminster Woods." A week later, the budget report came out, and it didn't look so good, and I'm calling him back, right? Hi. 4 weeks later, I was moved to Southern California at that church, enrolled as an inquirer to become in ministry. They started sewing the stole for me. So their sewing group, this is from St. Peter's. Peter was reputedly crucified upside down. So this is an upside down cross. The church was built on an old strawberry field. So they had strawberries and it's by the ocean. So they started sewing this for me by faith, not even knowing if I would finish my seminary program. There's lots of other stuff, crazy stuff that happened, but you know, by faith, I left after seminary my beloved California and went to serve at a church in Arvada, Colorado. But also by faith, another one of those phone calls showed up, and I headed back to Westminster Woods to be the interim program director. By faith, I left that position when my child was 6 months old and was again in that uncertain space. And then by faith, God sent my good friend Gail Doring to say, "There's this church in Pleasant Hill. You should look at it." And I said, "I'm home with my six-month-old. Thank you very much. Goodbye." Right? They went on with their call process. They found somebody. And that person's life changed. And 6 months later, I got another call. "They're still looking." And that time, I went, "I'm a little tired of being home with my beautiful child." Beautiful, but, you know, I'm like, that sounds like too much. She went, "It's part-time." And I went, "Okay. It comes with health insurance. Okay, we're talking." It came to me. And I met the pastor there, Shell White. And he retired. And by faith, God led me and that congregation through a time of great chaos and great change in the interim process. Any of you know anything about this interim process thing? Yeah. But God granted courage and wisdom and perseverance to that community of faith. And by faith, I left that position when my time was done without having another place to serve, but trusting that God would have a place for me. And by faith, in January of this year, I showed up, I sat in that back corner, probably about where Serena is right now, at the 9 a.m. worship service, just to join in and praise God. And it happened to be a Sunday where Pastor Ron announced that the candidate here had withdrawn from the process. And after worship, I walked up and I went, wait, Dave Lawson, right? Westminster Woods, whatever, right? I said, "Oh, prayers for you and your PNC." He's like, "I'm on it." Or I'm trying to get off of it, but I'm on it for now, right? And by faith, he went back to the PNC, and we started a conversation that just clicked. And so by faith, I am here. And I only stand here because of all those other people, those forefathers and foremothers of faith, some that I've named this morning and some who are unnamed, who nurtured this faith journey in me. It's not something that I did myself or I planned myself. I wouldn't have done it this way had I been able to plan it. It's something that God and I did as a partnership, but that God sent important people along the way, especially at those decision points, at those times of uncertainty. Because if you think about it, if we're really, really sure, that's not when we need faith. We need faith when we're unsure. We need faith when we don't know which direction to go. We need faith when things are chaotic. I'm trusting that each of you in this room have a faith journey as well. Maybe it's longer than mine, as your life has been longer in years than mine. It may be shorter, that you're a newer believer, just starting this journey with God. But even if it hasn't been long, there are those moments. So I'm going to ask you to take a moment right now to remember some of those people in your life. Who's influenced you when you were at a time of uncertainty or change? Who showed up for you and nurtured what little faith you had in that moment? And that looking backwards with eyes of faith over your own personal history, what might God have been doing there? It's good to look back, because we can point and more concretely say, I think that God was up to something there. But we're called not to just look back and to be content and grateful about God has acted in our past. For that text in Hebrews that starts with the faith is for things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen also goes forth to say in chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. As our narrative goes into the future, our individual narratives, we can take those concrete examples of the past, of the times when we could really clearly say, God showed up there. That was a God moment in my life, to encourage us to keep going into the future. For the present is that intersection of the past and the future. And in this present moment, we do. We stand at this place and at this time, and we look backwards by faith, and we look forwards by faith. For I know and you know, there are decisions that are yet to be made. There are situations in your life that are kind of ambiguous and unclear, but don't have really good answers at this moment in time. There are things that you feel uncertain about. Maybe it has something to do with the health of you or somebody you know. And this is true both individually and as a body called Community Presbyterian Church here in Vallejo. Where are we going? What is God calling us to do and be next? We have choices in front of us. We can see that there were faithful people here in the past who built this building, who carved those beautiful doors out front, who had a vision for this place in the community. So we can look back, and we're asked to look forward. Because we don't get to just say the story stops with us, that we've received all these blessings and received all of these faith, for us to just sit here and say, great, we're content, we're good. We're here because of that call to nurture faith in others as we step into the future. Because there are folks around us who are in those times of uncertainty. We know people who need a sense of hope. We know people who need a conviction of a better way to be. They might be friends. They might be coworkers. They might be people in this neighborhood. For it's not up to us to keep it to ourselves. I want to close with a story of something that happened this very week and with this very church that says God's on this journey with me and with us. So on Wednesday, Sandra Collister and I walked over to Stephen Manor Elementary. So I met the principal over there, Diana Matlock, and we walked around the church, and she said how much of a blessing this church has been to them with school supplies and praying for people over Lent. And she's showing me, and as we're finishing up our conversation, she says, I asked her, you know, what do you need that CPC can help you with? And she's like, Kleenex! Kleenex, oh, and hand sanitizer. Yeah. Those two things would be fabulous. And then she said, actually, and I said, you know, will you pray for a kindergarten teacher? Because school starts on August 17th, right? That's what, 10 days from today? She's like, we don't have a kindergarten teacher. And I'm like, well, what do you need? She's like, well, we need somebody who has a bachelor's degree and who loves kids. And I'm like, okay, I can pray for that. And then about an hour later, I went, oh, there's this person I know who had been at my house, oh, Monday night for dinner, who's midway through her credentialing program, who was the youth director at St. Andrew's year back, and I've been mentoring her. And she's been talking about when it's going to be the right time for her to leave her current full-time benefited job and do the student teaching thing, and she wasn't sure how that was all going to work financially. So I'm sitting at VBS training, and I'm writing her an email. Hey, by the way, there's this opening, you know, in Vallejo. Can you, you know, you can look at it. You can forward it to other people in your program. I mean, she knows other people who are looking, right? So I sent the message off. She calls me at 7 o'clock that night. I got your message. I called the principal. The principal called me back 8 minutes later. We talked over the phone just a half an hour ago, right? She wants my 3 letters of recommendation, and I'm giving notice on my job. I don't make this stuff up, right? But it's darn fun to be on the ride when you get to see God show up in those kind of ways. That's the journey that we are on together, right? And the journey that we are going to walk forward together. So let us look backwards, live in the present, but also to look forward by faith. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.